Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be reading this morning from verse 13 to verse 17. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, by having girded your loins with truth, and by having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and by having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we do worship and thank you, even as we have acknowledged in singing this morning already. You are our mighty fortress. You are our strong tower. And Lord, as we abide in that tower, the evil one cannot touch us. So Lord, we thank you for the provision, the protection, the wealth, the riches, the resources that we have in Christ, who has accomplished the victory on our behalf. Lord, as we look today here, beginning to consider the armor, the full armor that is yours placed on us, Lord, help us to realize not only all that we have in Christ, but the great protection and the great preparation that you have for believers to stand firm and to fight for the honor of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we're quite clearly in a military context in our passage here today. Recall verses 10 through 13 of this same passage. Be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. So be strong, strength. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. You'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You do understand. I mean, there was a whole controversy, discussion, and debate over what the word fight means this last week, wasn't there? What does it mean? Well, clearly, we are saying here, this is not a fight that we are recommending or engaging with flesh and blood. This is concerning rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, to take up the full armor, to resist, having done everything to stand firm. Well, that is warfare language, isn't it? It's military style language. Do you know that runs throughout the whole Bible? We're just going to look at some others that give these same ideas in the New Testament. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Armor. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Okay? Weapons of righteousness. Weapons. That's a military word, isn't it? Weapons of righteousness for the right hand, the word of truth. For the left hand, the power of God. How do we engage in this? By the word of God. By the power of God. Those are our weapons. Okay? We're not talking here about tanks and missiles and guns and bullets and knives and those things. We're talking about the Word of God and the power of God. So let's be very clear what we're talking about in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Did you get it? The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. No, no, no. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. There is something that we are to be destroying with our weapons. What is that? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are destroying wrong ideas. Wrong, that's what you're fighting against. Wrong ideas, speculations, things raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is, all of those speculations, all of those wrong ideas and wrong thoughts that people would level against God, capture them. Take them captive. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Yeah, there's warfare. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. A breastplate, a helmet. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, that is the prophecies about Timothy, by them you fight the good fight. Be fighting the fight, the good one, the right one. There are lots of fights you're not supposed to have. But fight the good fight. And you fight it by the word of God. Timothy was to fight it by the things that were prophesied over him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A soldier. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. The priorities, the values of a soldier. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul at the end of his life said, I have fought the good fight. I fought the fight, the good one. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. We cannot take those ideas and those words out of our Bibles. But we should acknowledge what we're doing in the context of Ephesians 6. I was offended and concerned at the number of replays of people on both sides of the political aisle this past week being quoted as saying, I will fight like hell. Both sides said it. Well, you know what? Let's fight like heaven. Let's fight like heaven. Hell is on the other side. The forces of hell are your adversaries. Don't fight like them. Neither side in our government understands the truth of what a righteous warfare is. Neither one. Neither one. That's our context. We are to fight with the weapons we're given. And we'll be continuing this for a couple weeks here in Ephesians 6. Now in Ephesians 6:14, our mandate is given. The mandate in verse 14 is, stand firm, therefore. That's the command. It's an imperative. Stand firm, therefore. Therefore is based on all of the implications of verses 10 through 13. And we've spent a couple weeks on those verses already, and I encourage you to go back and look at them. But the therefore is based on at least the ideas that believers have the strength of the Lord in our position in Christ. Verse 10. Strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. If you're saved, you have that. The strength of the Lord. Believers have, verse 11 and verse 13, believers have the full armor of God. Every saved person has the full armor of God. You don't need to look around and go, I didn't get a helmet. I didn't get a breastplate. No, you have the full armor of God. Full armor, all of it. Verse 11, having put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, take up the full armor of God. Doesn't say, go look for it, see if you can find it. You know, where's my belt of truth? Oh, it's in my closet somewhere. I lost it. I can't find it. No, you have it. You have it. If you don't have it, you're not saved. Yeah. Everyone who's saved has it. And believers have the authority and ability to resist and stand firm. That was last week's message. Verse 11, you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, you will be able to resist, to stand firm. That is your ability and authority in Christ, raised and seated with Christ at the right hand of God the Father. So that's the therefore. You have all of this as a believer. Therefore, the mandate, stand firm, verse 14. It's actually an aorist, plural, active, imperative. That means it includes every believer. All of you stand firm. And it's a command, and it's something that you are to do decisively. Stand firm. Now, begin to get this picture. What are you doing in this warfare? You are standing. You are standing in your position in Christ. You're standing. You're braced. You're supported. Stand firm is the mandate. The same form of this word is used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. Peter says, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Don't you realize there's a war going on? Yeah. Do what? Hide in the back of the garage. Do what you can to avoid it and escape. No. Stand. And stand firm. Now, the means, we begin talking about the armor, and we'll talk about the first three pieces this morning and the next three next time. How do you stand firm? There are, and we're going to see this, there are three background passages in the book of Isaiah. They are passages about the Messiah and about Messiah's armor. And Paul takes those three passages and uses those here. And he does it by using three aorist middle participles. I know you don't care. But here's why that's important. This should be translated with the word by. These are participles of means. In other words, stand firm, verse 14, therefore, how? By having girded your loins with truth. Stand firm, how? By having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand firm how? Verse 15. By having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are things that have happened in the believer. And they're important. They are the means of standing firm. So, the first of these means is the belt of truth. By having girded your loins with truth. Stand firm by having girded yourself. Now, the word girded, it's a good translation. This same word is used in other places concerning getting prepared or readied. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it's translated, be dressed. Get dressed in readiness. In the same context, Luke 12:37, you're on the alert when he comes. If you're alert, Jesus said, truly I say to you that he will gird himself, dress himself, prepare himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. In this context, in Ephesians 6 verse 14, it is be ready, gird yourself to stand firm. Girding yourself around your waist, your loins. It's your midsection. Now, girding ourselves, and we're implying from this that it's a belt, and we can use that term. But don't think of belt. I mean, I'm wearing a belt this morning, and it's about that wide. This belt covers the stomach, your midsection, and your upper legs, even part of your thighs. That's why maybe you've seen sometimes pictures of like a Roman soldier in armor. It almost looks like he's wearing a skirt. That's a belt. It's a wrap that goes around the middle. We began to look at this last time, but in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, this is one of those three passages in Isaiah that Paul is drawing from here. Isaiah 11, 4 and 5, concerning Messiah. So this is about Jesus. With righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Now this is Messiah at his second coming. I mean, do you see the warfare military language? He's going to strike with a rod. He will slay the wicked at his second coming. Yeah, that's Jesus at his second coming. Isaiah 11:5, also righteousness, tzedakah, will be the belt around his loins. Christ's righteousness is the protection and preparation of his midsection at his second coming. And faithfulness, emunah, faithfulness, the belt around his waist. Christ's righteousness, his faithfulness, his consistency, his integrity is his armor. That armor, because the believer is in Christ, is placed on the believer. Therefore, the believer has this girded around the waist, the midsection. Protection for the waist, the stomach, your midsection, your upper legs, thighs. And it's in Christ. And this standing firm by girding yourself around your waist is with truth. It is truth that protects you as a believer, verse 14. With truth. Now this truth, as it is with Christ, is both your personal truth telling, like we saw in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Remember that? That is part of this belt. Truth telling, your integrity, like Christ's integrity. In fact, Christ's integrity is your integrity in this. And the truth is the gospel. The truth is the word of God. So this belt around your midsection is the truth of God, not only in your application of it, but in your possession of it. You have it. So how do you stand firm? You stand firm by realizing you at the very center of yourself, the very central region of your body around your waist, you are protected by the Word of God, by the truth. That's the belt. Now, the second means, still in verse 14, is the breastplate of righteousness. How do we stand firm? By having put on the breastplate of righteousness. By having put on. Now, notice again the way this is worded here. This does not say by putting on. It says by having put on. Okay? The breastplate of righteousness was put on you when you were saved. It's put on. Having put on. And by having the breastplate of righteousness put on, you stand firm. Now, the breastplate, it's actually an interesting word. I mean, it's translated the best we can. But breastplate is translating the Greek ton thoraxa. Now, if you can see in thoraxa the English word thorax, do you know that word? What does that have to do with? Usually are referring to your throat, right? You know? So, this is covering the entire region from your neck all the way down, covering your chest. Your thorax, thoracic region, a breastplate. It's not just covering your chest. That's included. But it starts here. It's all the way from here down. Again, that's why when you see pictures of these things, remember, the belt comes all the way up over your stomach. The breastplate then comes down and meets that. And there's usually a part sticking up that covers your neck. Just look at the pictures. Say, well, isn't that uncomfortable? Yeah, but getting stabbed in the throat isn't comfortable either. Okay. So it's a protection of this entire portion. Protects the neck, the heart, the lungs, your chest, all of this. That's the breastplate. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 that we looked at says, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, you're going to want to say, but the breastplate here is righteousness. And in 1 Thessalonians, it's faith and love. It's all of those. Those things are all involved. None of these are just one thing. They are all of the Word and all of the power of God. Now, it's a breastplate of righteousness here. The word righteousness and the word justified or justification are the exactly same Greek word all throughout the New Testament. Dikaiosune. They're the same word. Righteousness and justification are the same thing. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, we're justified in Christ. Every believer has justification. That's the initial declaration of your salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. The righteousness or justification of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Okay, how do you get the righteousness of God? By faith in Christ. Romans 3:28, we maintain that a man is justified, same word, by faith, apart from the works of the law. You do not get righteousness by behaving righteously. You get righteousness by trusting Jesus for it, by believing. Romans 4:5. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, as justification. Justification by faith, by believing. The one who believes, that's how you get the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is right, this is at the very heart of the gospel. He, God the Father, made him, God the Son, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Jesus died for your sins. In your place, it was put on him. He became sin for you and suffered and experienced death, the penalty for sin. He experienced that for you. Why? So that we might become, not just have, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The one who is saved, who has believed that Jesus died for him and rose again to give him eternal life. The one who is saved is now the righteousness of Jesus. Okay? We've taught this earlier in Ephesians. And so be reminded, you should be able to say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of Jesus. When you're saved, that's who you are. I am justified, and I have the righteousness of Jesus imputed to me. It's mine, it's who I am. Now, that is the breastplate. Okay, if you're justified with God, you are the righteousness of God. You have this. Now, this breastplate is used concerning Messiah in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17. Isaiah 59, verse 17. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. This is again Messiah at his second coming. Righteousness as a breastplate. The believer has the protection of that entire area. The third means of standing firm, verse 15, the shoes of the gospel. Now, the word shoes is kind of implied. And, you know, there used to be a lot of songs, you know, about the gospel shoes. I got shoes, you got shoes, all God's children got shoes. You know, I guess, you know, we're not supposed to sing those now because I guess that's racist or something. But there's a truth in it. Stand firm, verse 15 says, by having shod. Now the word shod actually means tied on. And, you know, you might picture sandals, but usually, and again, if you look at some of the pictures, you'll see these would be tied on all the way up to or even slightly over the knee. All the way up. So, you know, are these sandals? Well, they're probably more like a first century version of combat boots, tied on. So they would be tied on to your feet and tied on to your feet by extending all the way up over the calves and maybe even to the knees. On your feet. Now, again, Paul is drawing from a passage about Messiah in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. The shodding of the feet, putting this on the feet, yes, it enables you to stand. It enables you to walk. It even enables you to run. But the source of this is for the purpose of carrying a message. The message of the gospel. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the preparation That is, you are prepared to give a message. You're prepared to proclaim something. And that is the gospel of peace. In our justification, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have, not we're looking for, not, no, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of peace. And it is this gospel that we are to be ready to proclaim. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, alluding to Isaiah 52:7, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So, the believer has the belt of truth protected and prepared at the entire middle. The believer has the breastplate of righteousness protected and prepared at the top to the middle. The believer has the shoes of the gospel protected from the knees down and prepared to take the message. That is what every believer has. How does the believer stand? Stands protected and stands prepared, ready. Every believer. You know, there is no such thing as a saved person who says, well, you know what? I need some class or training to teach me how to share the gospel. Do you know what? That was put on you the moment you were saved. You don't get that from a class. You got it from Jesus. It's already yours. You are already prepared to present the gospel to people. If you're not, you're not saved. You are prepared. So we stand firm, protected and prepared. Say, well, there's Satan, there are demons, they're coming at us, whatever. You know what? The believer says, I'm standing firm. You know, bring it on. They can't win. They can't do it to me. Bring it on. Say, well, they can't penetrate any of those parts. I guess they could just knock you down. Okay, if they knock you down, you just get up again. You stand firm. You stand firm. Those who are not yet saved, you have not yet believed on Jesus for your salvation. You do not have this armor if you're not saved. You don't have protection, and you don't have preparation. And you can't stand firm. In fact, you're still on the enemy's side. But this is offered to you in the gospel. You can be justified today. You can be the righteousness of Christ today. When you believe that Jesus died in your place and for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day and will give eternal life, forgiveness, justification to all those who believe, realize he also gives armor to all those who believe. This is part of the package. Believe him. Trust him for it today. And this armor, this protection, this provision will be yours. If it already is yours, stand firm in it. There is no room for hiding, for weakness. You have it in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray now for anyone who needs to be saved today. Spirit of God, you are the one who creates faith. Lord, I pray that they will believe by faith alone upon the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for every believer today. May this have been a help, an encouragement, a strengthening. May that one who maybe even thought that they couldn't stand firm or that they were too weak realize today that in Christ they are strong, that they have the means to stand firm. So, Lord, thank you for our time together. We give you our worship, our thanksgiving, for you are our mighty warrior. You are the one who has won the victory. Lord, all praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.